When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
It's Thought Leader Thursday here on the Opening Bell. Let's begin. Rod Murray is in today from Associated Bank. Rod is Chicago Market President. Rod, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve.
I want to have a couple conversations with you about a couple of really cool articles I found. One of them is something that we kind of learned together on this program, me and the audience, when we have thought leaders in. And I wanted to ask you what P2P lending is.
P2P lending, peer-to-peer. You know, one of our other financial acronyms. So, you somehow lend money to me or a consortium of me.
So is that something the banking industry is in these days?
Well, the banking industry, traditional banking industry, is not in it per se, but it's becoming something that's more popular. And, the articles you refer to, especially in the UK, it does. I have seen it in the US. I actually have a relative who's done a little of this on a individual basis, but it's more of they make a consortium. There's a middleman or a middle person or middle company that allows somebody to invest for different ways, either equity or loans, in investing that way.
And so what will be the consideration if it spreads to the United States? And what demographic is involved in this mostly?
So more young investors are looking at it right now. They're the ones that are searching it the most or looking at it the most as an alternative to traditional accounts or even traditional, equity investing. That's right now who is looking to do it. There's talk that the second wave will be those of us that are 50 and over down the road is the anticipation. But right now, it's mostly the younger generation.
Yeah, the younger generation who seems to be willing to take more risks in their investments, right?
Willing to take more risks for the higher returns. I mean, think about even though rates have gone up over the last year plus, overall, your basic savings rates are really down. And if you're not into investing in the traditional equities, bonds, funds, et cetera, it's something that you can go out on the risk curve a lot easier. Think it's harder to go buy real estate or it's harder to, invest in different funds or private equity, et cetera. But this is an easier access point.
So the returns here are pretty decent in some cases?
Right. Depending on what you're doing, there's different vehicles. If it's lending, I'm lending money to you, there's maybe a guaranteed amount of your investment, and then there's a smaller amount that is guaranteed on an interest rate. If I'm lending money to you, or you're lending money to me, as you start getting into development loans, housing developments, et cetera, those can go up the curve a little bit on a higher investment return.
So we'll keep watching P2P lending, peer-to-peer lending. One of the other stories I saw, this is, when banks are doing well, this article makes the case for making big decisions in terms of transforming how things are done in the banking industry. Talk to us a little bit about how well the banking industry has been doing, and does that allow the banks to perhaps take chances on different ideas?
Right. Banks should be taking some chances right now when they're doing well. And essentially, it's if you sit with business as usual as your mantra, then you eventually are going to be left behind. So it's, banks like ours, like Associated, and certainly all of the, significantly large banks are really trying to invest in the transformation of digital banking to spend the money so that you can have tomorrow's customer.
I saw this report talking about just how well banks have been doing. Global banking revenues, according to the Boston Consulting Group, to climb an estimated $5.4 trillion by 2022, 75% higher than their level in 2011.
Right. It's been some good times, since the crash of 08, and you had the drop right after that. But since then, overall, things have been climbing, because even though that might have lost some trust and faith in the banking sector at that time, it still, all in all, is a good investment for company or for investors to come into, and the banks are continuing to expand their overall service profile. So banks are still needed, so the revenue is going to go up. They're always looking for ways to enhance the fee revenue, and certainly on the they're still the number one for getting loans. Mm-hmm. So
I know in past conversations, and even with some of your thought leader colleagues from Associated Bank, we've talked about how fintech, these financial tech companies, have been making inroads, but not as much, according to this report, as one might think. The competition is there, but it's not really stiff competition.
Right. So partnering with the fintechs, it's something that you have to find the right ones and try to get maybe some smaller fintechs that you're doing business with. The reason that it hasn't happened in mass or as quickly as you might have expected is banking still has a lot of regulations and it still has a lot of hoops to jump through. And it should. I'm not saying it shouldn't, but you have a lot of twists and turns in order to bring on new products and services.
One of the experts in this article talked, again, back to the transforming banking part of this, that there are several different areas to look at. In addition to maybe doing some of this when profits are strong, there's a couple of things right now that kind of push this forward. One is consumers enter segments that are underserved and where innovation has been slow or non-existent. Those are the places where it's ripe to jump in.
Yeah, it's a sector. I think several sessions ago, we kind of talked about that. There was a local fintech that was doing exactly that. So mm-hmm. servicing a sector that nobody else was. If you can find those as a advantage to go into, what a great launching point to maybe expand that a little bit more. So, and the fintechs themselves can do it. Sometimes with looking at it with non-banks, we hear it all the time. The big, huge players, start naming the names mm-hmm. that have gigantic brand recognition, keep talking about going more into the financial sector. But if the banks can find a way to get into those underserved communities and do it successfully, profitably, without loss, and under the right regulations, then what a great leg up they'll have.
Yeah, you mentioned those big companies. I know a lot of folks are looking over their shoulder at Facebook and Amazon.
Yes. I mean, what great brand recognition. If they see an opportunity to get into the banking sector, which, they're exploring that, there's some inroads to that. If they see an avenue, then the banks need to and will have to keep up. Now, the twist on that is you can't just all of a sudden, be a bank, right? I mean, we still have regulations and we still have safeguards in place for a good reason. So it's not like they can just completely flip a switch and say, we're lending money just like any of the big banks.
The recipe for growth, they talk about the mother lode being the bank or the company that's able to create what they call a seamless customer journey is the bank that's going to be able to, or the company that's going to be able to score the biggest.
Right. So that is, trying to get out of the traditional infrastructure that the banks have. So you have to think outside of the box a little bit. And right now it's very fragmented, mm-hmm. when you can deal with it. So if you can make it so that it's like when I go on Amazon or Google, whatever, make it a little more seamless and user-friendly. That's the way that you have to do this, is make it so that it's customer-centric and that it's not clunky. Mm-hmm. That's a very technical term, but...
Yeah, and there's two things that we talk about regularly here. One is obviously the consumer banking side. The other is the business-to-business side of it. But either of those discussions kind of fit here. If you have, if you want to change the discussion from my deposits or my savings to investing, that's where you're finding the new customers and the growth. Is that a fair assessment?
Right, that's a fair assessment, and it will come first on the retail side or the consumer side, as mm-hmm. we call it, is where it is happening. First, we are seeing it creep into the small business side, and eventually it'll creep into the what we call middle market or corporate or large corporate side of things. But if you can offer some advantage to either the AI, the artificial intelligence, or your digital transformation on what you're doing, they can all be interdispersed, once you develop it, you can start to lay it into the next sector, once you have it up and running.
And then the other part of this, as we look to the future, is this idea of open banking. Remind us again what open banking is.
Yeah, it's not the easiest thing to describe, but it's when you personalize the product to the individual that's going to the banking side of things, maybe beyond what is traditional. So very horizontal, banking is what that's referred to mm-hmm. in today's world, that I'm offering, as opposed to here's your savings account and here's your home loan or your car loan, it's products and services that aren't traditionally found there. And I'm just going to throw out some examples. Well, okay, well, what could that be? You know, it certainly could be things like you know, buying some product and service that traditionally is found at maybe insurance or, you know, I don't know that that's a greatest example, but those types of ways to think outside of your traditional is what happened.
Yeah, and we had a conversation recently with one of your colleagues about how the wealth management part of this and the investment strategies, those sorts of things are, you know, when you come for one and you can get the other in one-stop shopping, that's where customers are the happiest.
Right, and the one-stop shopping is what everybody's goal is and should be, and that's kind of is the contra to the fragmented side of things that banks traditionally do, a very siloed approach, as you refer to it, that you don't even know that maybe they offer this over in this bucket and you have something else on the other side of the bucket. A one-stop shop to do everything, it becomes what we call a sticky client, and it also is then a more robust, and then you can start to price things a little bit more aggressively if you have everything in under one roof, because you're getting the full, as they call, wallet share.
It's interesting. In addition to the P2P term, we've got sticky client today. that means what? A client who you're going to stick with you for a while?
Right. I mean, for me, right, if I have everything with one insurance company or one financial institution, if I buy everything from one place and all of my setup is there, it's a lot harder for me to leave. So that's what a sticky client is, because you're not going to leave for maybe, you know, to save two pennies. You're going to value the experience, and you're going to also say, I have everything here. It's more of relationship banking, whether that's on the consumer side or on the business side, and that you're less likely to shop those services if you're having the entire breadth and depth of all your products and services that you're getting from one shop.
Wrapping all of this up in this conversation about expanding and transforming the business, adding more digital offerings, what worries you about all of this?
You know, it's the same theme. It'll be as soon as somebody figures out a way to hack into it on the cyber side of things and disrupt the disruption, then consumers start to lose faith. And when the faith is lost, we know what can happen. So that's the biggest risk, is how can we keep from having a major, major hack that is pervasive across, you know, a broad spectrum of not just maybe one particular institution or fintech or bank's client base, but something that's really broad-based. You know, that's what would worry me the most.
When we talk to you about banks transforming banking, the scene being one that's happening in an environment of profitability, what happens when the economy goes south?
Yeah, I think that when the economy, if and when the economy goes south, this is even more important, because it's a very efficient model of delivering the service and the products to the clients. So there's an initial big investment maybe on the upfront, but your delivery, once it's up and running, is much less costly than the way most services, whether they're banking or other true financial services, are delivered today. So it'll be even more important to have, you know, be ahead of the game on the investment side.
Rod, always a good conversation. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one?
Sure. Thanks, Steve. People can get a hold of me by email, which is rodney.murray@associatedbank.com, or my phone number, 312-544-4515.
We'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Rod Murray is Chicago Market President at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. We do it every Thursday here in the Opening Bell. And you can listen to our past conversations at WGNradio.com on the Opening Bell page. And make sure you follow Associated Biz on Twitter, Associated Bank on Twitter. Also head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership to learn more about our thought leaders and more of our conversations there as well.